Praise the Lord. A reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 25 to 27. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." Praise the Lord. Dear friends, in preparation for the celebration of Christmas, we are trying to study and meditate the prophecies, the pre-announcements about the coming of a Redeemer. The period of Advent, the 4 weeks leading up to December 25th, is a time when the Church reflects and meditates on God's various promises, given in various ways and in different times through various religions, and especially in the Bible. Bible gives the clearest report of the promises God made about the redemption that he would give to humanity by sending a Redeemer. This promise we are going to study in detail in the coming days. We have started 2 days ago, depicting the picture of humanity in search of light. In a situation that is apparently the whole world being engulfed in darkness, and humanity as ever being enslaved by sin and death, ask the question, who is going to redeem me? Wretched man that I am, who will redeem me from this body that is subjected to sin and corruption? We also ask the question, why? Why is it that the human heart made for love is often filled with hatred? Why is humanity that searches endlessly for happiness encounters constant sorrow and sadness? And why all the attempts, all the hopes are brutally crushed in death? Why evil? Various religions give various interpretations to it. The Bible tells us the story of the origin of evil, how evil came into this world, how death came into this world. That is not created by God. It was not in God's plan. God did not want death. God did not want his creation to be extinct. Death entered the world through the guile of Satan. And evil entered the world through a free choice of humanity. The cause of evil is sin. Sin as denial of God. Sin as going away from God. Sin presented as a transgression of God's law. Sin in believing Satan more than God. Sin in asserting oneself over against God. Eat this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. That was the temptation, to be like God. In fact, the Bible tells us that humanity was created in the image and likeness of God. But instead of accepting God as a Lord and accepting the law of God or will of God as one's law of life, humanity wanted to affirm itself, make his own law. And this is somehow denying God. The denial of God, going away from God, is going away from the source of life. God is the source of life, happiness. And once a person gets away from this source, becomes sad, ends up in death. Now, the Bible tells us the story of salvation. God created everything good. God saw that it was very good. At the end of the creation, it is repeated again. God saw it was good. God saw it was good. And it was very good. And into this very good creation came the sin and the evil. And God has promised that humanity will one day overcome this evil. And God himself will join the humans in the struggle against the evil and will enable him to conquer death. So there is a promise repeated again and again in the Bible. Bible, we know, have two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, which is the sacred book of the Jews, the Israel, speaks about the preparation for a redemption from the creation to the coming of the Messiah. So in this Old Testament, we are given the promises. And in the New Testament, we have the fulfillment. The fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The Second Vatican Council, in the document about Revelation, Dei Verbum, has this to say: the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament becomes manifest in the New. The Old Testament is a preparation for the coming of Christ, and the New Testament is the fulfillment of these expectations. The coming of the Christ was foretold in various ways, through prophecies, through symbolic actions, through various persons. And the New Testament bears witness to this, that Jesus, the life, the teaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ was all foretold in the Bible, in the Old Testament. That's what we read in the beginning. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, the disciples did not believe in his resurrection. And two of these disciples were going away from Jerusalem. They were sad, very unhappy, disappointed about all the events that took place on that Friday, the death of Jesus. And they were discussing and disputing. And Jesus came with them, accompanied them, asked them questions, made them express their frustrations and their hopes and their frustrations. And at the end, Jesus tells them, he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" So all that happened in Jesus Christ was already foretold. It was necessary that the Messiah should suffer and so enter into his glory. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. The events that took place in Jesus Christ, his person, his teaching, his death and resurrection, was all foretold in the Bible. Now, trying to understand the person of Christ, the disciples went back searching the scriptures. And there they could find so many predictions which were not understood the time of the predictions. Be they events or be they objects or practices or prophecies were not clear at the time of the event. But in the light of the Christ event, they could understand the scripture well. Jesus was telling the disciples in Luke 24, verse 44, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Jesus had already told them that everything was written about him. And here three parts are mentioned: Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. This is how the Old Testament is divided. The Hebrews called them Tanakh, Torah, Nabim, and Ketubim. Torah stands for instruction. The first books of Moses, the five books called the Pentateuch. Then you had the Nabim, all the historical books and the prophetic books, the prophets. Then you had the Ketubim, the writings or the wisdom books. So the entire Old Testament is pointing towards the Christ event. And so all this was written and have to be understood in order to understand what happened in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is telling them, explaining the scriptures, his life in the light of the scriptures. As the two disciples discovered who Jesus was, or when his real identity was revealed to them at Emmaus, in the context of the breaking of the bread, they were so happy, they went back to Jerusalem. And on the way, they said to each other, Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 32. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" Jesus was opening the scriptures. The risen Lord, risen Jesus Christ, was explaining to the disciples his life and his teaching and the whole Christ event, interpreting the scriptures. Jesus himself explaining to them. Jesus had said already during his lifetime that the scriptures point to him. Chapter 5 of John, verse 39. "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life." It was a question of dispute caused by an action of Jesus. Chapter 5 reports the healing of a paralytic, a person who was 38 years paralyzed and waiting for healing at the pool called Bethesda, a house of mercy. He was waiting for mercy and he did not obtain the mercy for 38 years. And then Jesus came and gave him the strength, asked him, "Get up, take your mattress and go. Take your bed and walk." So the person who was paralyzed for 38 years got the strength from the word of Jesus. He got up and he walked away carrying his bed. And that was a Sabbath. And this caused a great dispute between Jesus and the Pharisees, the lawyers, the leaders. They considered this as a breaking of Sabbath. And Jesus was accused not only of breaking Sabbath, but also instigating, forcing people to break Sabbath. So this leads to the dispute, and there Jesus is explaining who he is and what he does. And then he is telling, it is the scriptures that speak about him. "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that testify on my behalf." So Jesus tells that whatever he does, who he is already promised, prophesied, predicted in the Old Testament. In John chapter 7, verse 38, is the time, is the feast of light. On the last day of that great feast, Jesus stands up and tells, "Let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." as our scripture says. So whatever is happening with him, whatever is happening in Jesus Christ has already been foretold, as the scripture says, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of water. And this here, Jesus had said already to the Samaritan woman that the water he gives will become a source of water gushing into everlasting life. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 24, he said, "The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him." Nothing that happened in Jesus Christ was accidental. It was all foreseen. It was all prepared. It was all predicted. The gospel is the fulfillment of God's promises. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. Already at the beginning, when Jesus started his ministry, he has said this. In Nazareth, where he was grown up, he came on the day of Sabbath and he stood up to read. And the book of Isaiah was given to him. Opening the book, he saw this passage. Chapter 4, Gospel of Luke, verses 18 and 19. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is the passage Jesus read. He said, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written. Where it is written. So Jesus sees this passage as a program already chalked out for him by his Father. The program was already planned and revealed through prophet 600 years before the coming. And in verse 21 it is said, "Then he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So what Jesus does is the fulfillment of the scriptures. It was already foretold. It was already prepared. And whatever happens in him, whatever through him, is already pre-announced, pre-planned. The disciples, after the Christ event, in order to understand the person and teachings of the Master, turned to the scriptures and found that everything about Jesus had been foretold. The prophets, the Psalms, the entire Pentateuch were all leading, pointing to the coming of the Messiah, to his teaching, and to his actions. In the apostolic teaching, especially in the book of Acts, when Peter and later Paul wanted to interpret the Christ event and bear testimony to Jesus, they were pointing back to the scriptures. It was very difficult for the disciples to proclaim Jesus Christ. Paul would say, "While I was with you, I did not want to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified." It was very difficult for the disciples to proclaim a Redeemer, a Lord who was crucified. We know Jesus, the historical Jesus, was condemned by a religious court as well as a political court, civil court. the Sanhedrin, the supreme authority of the Jewish people, put him on trial. Jesus was tried. Witnesses were brought in, although the Gospels say they were false witnesses. At the end, the high priest, the chief justice, put the question point blank: are you the Christ, the Son of the living God? And Jesus said, you said it. And he further, quoting from Daniel, said, you'll see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds. This the Sanhedrin considered as a supreme blasphemy, and they condemned him to death. Everybody said he is worthy of death. We don't need any witness anymore. And the high priest tore his garment to prove that he has heard blasphemy. So Jesus was condemned as a blasphemer. The same thing happened, or similar thing happened, in the civil court. Pilate, the judge, put Jesus on trial. Even though Pilate, the judge, saw and repeatedly said, I do not find any wrong in this person, at the end, Jesus was condemned to be crucified. And the reason for the condemnation is that is written four words: Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Jesus claimed to be the King of the Jews. And this was considered as rebellion, a high treason, as a crime against the Roman Empire. So the disciples had a very difficult time to proclaim this Jesus, who for the Jews was a blasphemer, and for the Gentiles, for the Romans, was a criminal, a contempt criminal, a person crucified. So how are they going to explain to the people that this contempt person is none but the Son of God? He is a redeemer. This was a very difficult task. But they could not deny the fact that they have experienced the risen Lord. Death was not the end. Crucifixion did not put an end to the life of Christ, of Jesus Christ. All the disciples experienced that the person who was killed and who was buried did not remain in the grave. He came out. He was alive. And that is the first proclamation. Christ lives. He is alive. And this is the experience that changed the lives of the disciples. They could not deny the fact this man who was condemned as a criminal has been raised to life. And it's this risen Jesus who gave them the task: go and proclaim to the whole world. Go and bear witness to what you have seen and heard. So how are they going to bear witness? How are they going to explain these facts that a criminal is the savior of the world? For this, they searched the scripture. They were Jews. They were praying the Psalms. They were familiar with the prophecies read again and again in the synagogues and at home. So they were familiar with the expectations of a Messiah. And in the light of the Old Testament scriptures, they explained, they interpreted the life of Christ. And there comes a new revelation, a new light on the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophecies become visible, become transparent, illumined by the light shed from the cross and from the risen Lord. That's what we are going to do in the coming days, to read the Old Testament in the light of the risen Lord. The Old Testament will shed light on the life of Jesus, but the light of the risen Lord will shed further light on the Old Testament and enable us to understand the prophecies which the people at the time could not understand. So in the coming days, we are going to reflect, to study the major messianic prophecies, one at a time. So the coming days we'll be focusing more and more on individual scripture passages, explain them in their context and situation, and see how this prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament and New Testament mutually explaining, interpreting each other. In this way, we'll be preparing ourselves to understand in a better way the Christmas, the Christ event, and also to accept Christ as the Son of God, the Redeemer, the light of the world, promised by God and brought to fulfillment in the person of Jesus. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the promises you made throughout the Old Testament to Adam coming to the end of the Old Testament. The promise that you will send a Redeemer to save us from all the evil, to save us from misery, to save us from sin and death. We thank you for the promises, and we thank you for the fulfillment in sending your Son, born in a manger, died on Calvary, and risen from the dead, who continues to shed light and life in our path. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.